IVM.
Hi, I'm Utsav, a behavior researcher by training and a slow traveler by passion. Postcards from Nowhere is a travel podcast where I condense a decade of travel experiences and explore not just the where, but also the why and how to travel. My stories emerged from slow traveling the less explored parts of the world. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Armenia, Uzbekistan, and even China. At the end of each story, I give practical tips and new ideas about how to travel better. This week, I take you to our vertical limits, the deepest and highest points on Earth, and what do they have to do with unexpected discoveries in Goa. On January 23, 1960, at a little after 1 in the afternoon, two men seated on small stainless steel boxes inside a forged steel alloy cabin settled gently onto a patch of ivory-colored silt on the floor of the Mariana Trench. They were at a depth of 35,800 feet. At that moment, 7 years after a Sherpa mountaineer named Tenzing Norgay and the New Zealand mountaineer Edmund Hillary reached the summit of Mount Everest, Don Walsh, an American naval lieutenant and submariner, and a Swiss oceanographic engineer named Jacques Picard reached the Earth's other vertical extreme. Picard once described the floor of the Pacific as a vast emptiness beyond all comprehension. In the years since their dive, scientists have discovered hundreds of new species of deep ocean dwellers and mapped much of the planet's deep water currents. But both Picard and Walsh aren't to blame, for their dive was focused solely on capturing information for the Navy. In fact, Walsh's one regret about his stupendous feat was that there was no room for astonishment, for an expanded sense of appreciation of the moment. He was a submarine captain and had never actively considered the character of the ocean below 400 feet. And let's face it, how often have we, even the most experienced scuba divers, would not have explored such a depth? Sure, we have machines who could have gone down there, but is that really the same thing? Because you can't surprise a machine. This statement of Walsh stayed with me because it is this capacity to appreciate the unknown, to be surprised by it, is what will always set the human explorer apart from the machine. But what has become of us as explorers? After almost a year of being cooped up at home, I took a short trip to the silent and less crowded parts of South Goa. It wasn't my first trip to Goa. I'd been there a few times before. I went in with a fairly straightforward plan. Catch up with friends I hadn't seen in over a year, relax by the beach, sample some fresh seafood, and maybe see a fort or two. On my very first evening, as the motley crowds dotting the beach disappeared, we sat by our beachfront property. My mind was transported to the wonderful life project of the writer Robert Macfarlane, who is collecting lost words to describe nature from all parts of England and Scotland. The raging sea in Goa reminded me of the word endragant, or the Scottish word brimted, which means the sounds of the sea breaking on the shore. Or, from northern Lancashire, the word skir, the stone patch on the seafloor in shallow water. As I was swimming and drowning in my reverie, my friend drew our attention to a bunch of white torchlights on the beach. They weren't the lights from people who were walking by the beach, moving slowly along the shorefront. These were lights from people who were intently looking at something for prolonged periods of time. Meanwhile, my mind was miles away from any task which required any sort of intent or concentration. The drowsy effects of the cool sea breeze was only heightened by the virtues of good company and good alcohol. And yet, we got up from our lounge chairs and decided to take a short walk to see what the fuss was about. As we came closer to the lights, we could hear distinct chatter, the hushed kind, as if something illicit was underway. We approached cautiously, only to find an entire area on the beach cordoned off. Within the cordon, one could see rows upon rows of cuboidal structures covered by nets. The people greeted us warmly and invited us to join them in the investigation. Turns out, these were employees of the Forest Department who had a very serious task at hand. A few weeks ago, they had transported entire nests of eggs laid by Ridley turtles from another beach to our beach for protection, thus allowing the eggs to hatch in peace. In 2021, the Forest Department has been protecting 1,529 eggs. The forest staff, part of the Turtle Interpretation Center, advised us to come back later in the night. A few of these eggs could hatch any time. At that moment, I forgot everything about my plans of relaxing in Goa. The hatching of the Ridley turtles became the foremost thing on my mind. We returned later that night to the site, but had no luck. Over the next 2 days, we visited each night, and then as we were about to give up hope, we spotted a Ridley turtle who had hatched mere hours ago. I'd seen this so many times on television, but seeing that solitary turtle finding and making sense of the world around him gave me joy. It was a joy that I was not seeking, but I found it anyways. I was reminded of Don Walsh and the ability of the explorer to be astonished. The writer and activist Rebecca Solnit wrote most poignantly, "When you give yourself to places, they give you yourself back. The more one comes to know them, the more one seeds them with the invisible crop of memories and associations that will be waiting for you when you come back." While we walked back, a few hours later, that little turtle would walk the most important walk of its life. A few hundred feet of its walking would repeat a process that has been happening for centuries. And yet, each time it gave birth to something new, a new life brimming with possibilities. I consider myself and all of you to be incredibly lucky. Unlike Walsh and Picard, I did not have to dive to the deepest points of the ocean to be astonished. All I had to do was walk a few hundred feet on land. As we go back to the same places we have been before, we must constantly remind ourselves that to explore is to travel without a hypothesis.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are at IBM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I am Utsav Memory on Twitter and YBTravel42 on Instagram.